Seattle is aiming to address a disparity in drowning deaths by offering free swimming lessons to children from low-income families. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds the drowning death rate for black people is 1.5 times higher than the rate for white people. The disparity is 3.6 times higher for black youth aged 10 to 14. This comes as the cost and availability of swimming lessons across the country remains a challenge for many parents and guardians. Joining us now for more on the effort in Seattle is AP Diaz, who is the superintendent of Seattle Parks and Rec. AP, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here today. I'm so excited to talk about this important issue that you just mentioned.
Yeah, so I mean, that issue is an alarming disparity in black youth drowning. I wonder, AP, does that mean black youth are less likely to access swim lessons? Does the disparity exist in access to swim lessons as well? And is that why free swimming lessons are needed in terms of equity?
Absolutely. The disparity exists for a variety of reasons. And what we're talking about is a life skill, a basic human right that all individuals should possess, but particularly children. And it's particularly important in the city of Seattle. We are a city of water surrounded by lakes and the sea and the coast. And it's really important that all of our children have the means and the ability to access swimming. And cost is a tremendous barrier sometimes for families.
Yeah. Our producer, Ashley Locke, spoke with the head of a national nonprofit called Stop Drowning Now. Jim Spears, who owns swim schools across the country, said that families are paying a range of prices right now for lessons.
Swimming lessons can be anywhere from a YMCA type program, which can be anywhere from, you know, $10 to $15 a lesson, to the high-end private swim schools, which can be anywhere from $35 to $55 a lesson, typically.
So it's not unheard of to say that a parent could be paying $200 a month for swimming lessons if they went every week.
Absolutely.
For one kid.
Yeah, anywhere from 100 to 200, yes.
I mean, that's a lot of money, especially for families with multiple children. AP, how much is cost a barrier to swim lessons in Seattle?
Cost can be a barrier. I mean, we have scholarship programs, we just don't have enough. And the goal of our Swim Seattle initiative is that we can one day make it so that we can truly say that we're serving the entire city and that every child growing up in the city of Seattle can become swim proficient by age 10. But really important to spotlight what you just spoke to earlier. Imagine if you have more than one child. There's no way you can afford those types of costs. So you're either making choices about which child is going to know how to swim and which child is not going to know how to swim, or none of your children are going to be able to learn how to swim. And that's just choices that parents should not have to make in this day and age.
And quickly, when you say swim proficient, tell us what you mean by that.
Sure. The way that Swim Seattle works is that you go through a series of six sessions that take you to a point and a goal of being comfortable in the water, learning basic safety etiquette, learning how to swim, use the right types of stroke, how to breathe, learning what the water is, how not to panic, so that you're really comfortable in an environment.
And I wonder, AP, how much, you know, even just finding an open spot within a swim class is a problem. Jim Spears says wait lists, especially coming out of the pandemic, are still very high.
There's a shortage on teachers, there's a shortage on lifeguards, and finding those people that are wanting to take on those jobs and do those jobs is becoming less and less easy to do.
What are you seeing there in Seattle, AP?
In Seattle, we're seeing some of the same challenges. There is a national lifeguard shortage, and we also have capacity limitations where we have too few mini pools for the amount of the public that we need to serve. So we need to work with the state legislature to come up with more capital programs for pools. At the end of the day, pools are not just a luxury space. They are a vital place to learn, and we need to provide more of them, just the way that we provide schools.
Yeah. It's interesting, where I grew up in Sydney, in Australia, swim lessons was part of PE in school. We all learned to swim in school as part of sports. I wonder if, you know, what you're doing in Seattle is almost, given that that doesn't happen in public schools here, free swimming lessons through Parks and Rec. Tell us how it will work.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to require partnerships. So we are looking to partner with the Seattle Public School System for the very reason you just noted. We're also going to partner with our healthcare providers so that they can study and give us data and metrics. It's really vital to show and demonstrate that children of color disproportionately drown in our state, in the nation, in the world, and that we have the ability to change that.
Can you start young? Because I imagine the older a child gets, the more fear they have of the water.
You brought up such a great point. In fact, just this weekend, I was at one of our community centers and I was looking at a parent and me class where young dads and moms have their infants, you know, doing basic bonding time in the water. What was really sad was that there was a lack of parents coming from communities of color. And what I've learned is that this lack of swimming ends up becoming generational, and it's fear-based. Mm. If you don't know how to swim, just the idea of standing in the water is so overwhelmingly gripping that you don't have the ability to have that bonding time with your child in the water. And then subsequently, you can't teach your children how to swim. And then it becomes this almost generational curse.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things is the cost barrier and the availability of slots. But the reality is perhaps many people of color don't know how to swim because there was also a lot of racism when they were growing up at pools that kept them from going. I wonder if that still exists and if you have a way of making it an inclusive space.
It's a great point. It is about inclusion. And part of our program is going to also focus on cultural sensitivities. Understanding how to care for one's hair is a big concern. And people often don't know how to do that or have an appreciation for ensuring that, you know, people know how to properly take care of their hair, providing them with goggles and swim caps and things to feel comfortable. So all that inclusivity is really important. And we're evaluating and studying how we can use our spaces so that that's another barrier, that if someone has a cultural issue, we want to help them overcome that and provide them safe places and to know that they're welcome, but they also have the tools to feel comfortable in other areas of their life.
And, you know, Jim Spears from Stop Drowning Now brings up another really interesting point that is across the board. He says at the end of the day, there are really simple things parents can do to protect their kids in the water, and that is to supervise them.
It's typically parents going to the pools with the child and thinking that it's going to be fun and the kids can go play in the water and they don't have to supervise and pay attention. And so they can be on their laptops or their iPads. And this is all happening a lot more post-COVID because everyone started working from home. And what parents need to realize is there is their job to be the water watcher.
You know, I've seen really big public service campaigns which have the children's face on it at a swimming pool and it's looking at the camera saying, "Mama, stop looking at your phone and look at me." And it's pretty powerful. I mean, I wonder, do you think that also is an element that needs to be addressed?
I think it's certainly important, but what's telling in that is that's the assumption that the parent knows how to swim. And what I love about our program is the focus is on, you know, communities of color, because I have heard some really terrible stories of grandmothers, caregivers of color who have been watching their children in a pool or at a lake or something. And, you know, within moments, something terrible happens. And that first instinctive caregiver tug, really in any adult, your immediate reaction is to save them, to jump in. And I've heard stories where both people end up drowning. And wow, that just is, again, something that motivates us to really work hard in this space.
AP Diaz is the superintendent of Seattle Parks and Recreation. AP, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, NPR.